Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. Following Bears Weekly, let's keep the Bears conversation going at 312-332-3776. We're just 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, Abdallah. The night that the Bears select Caleb Williams as the number one pick. And from that point on, the Bears will be the greatest team in the history of the world.
Maybe. It's a new era for the Bears. The new era begins 2 weeks from tonight. Probably, you know, close to exactly 2 weeks from right around right now. A new era for the Bears begins, and you have a, now you're on a clock, right? When the Bears had Mitchell Trubisky and they traded for Khalil Mack, I believe that they were on a Khalil Mack clock at that point, right? Like you, like we all knew the quarterback was meh, but like you have one of the best defensive players, and you are now on his timeline, and however long he's here for, that's your window to win. And now you have to maximize this opportunity. You are now in a Caleb Williams rookie quarterback window. You have 4 years before that fifth year option, which is more, but not like crazy more, right? To maximize what you can do with this roster and what you can do with every position on this team to try to get the most value and squeeze everything you can out of having a rookie quarterback, because we've seen teams do it before, most notably the Seattle Seahawks when Russell Wilson was a rookie, and you want to try to replicate that when you draft Caleb Williams.
I just want to get this out of the way as we start this Bears conversation, in case you're wondering where Black and Abdallah have been. When White Sox baseball is on the air here in the evenings on ESPN 1000, you need to do this. You need to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah, because if you do that, you won't miss anything. You have to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Black and Abdallah. That's where the show will be on evenings throughout the summer when the White Sox are on ESPN 1000. We do have videos up from the last couple days when the Sox have been playing the Guardians this week. We had a chance to talk with Connor Rogers from NBC Sports. He breaks down the draft. He's fantastic. Check it out. The video's up there. We also talked to the film room on YouTube, Brett Coleman. We had a conversation with him. Both told us, are you guys ready for what's going to happen with Caleb Williams and the Bears? And like that, it was a conversation that we had with both Brett and Connor, who are nationally NFL conversation people who are diving into the draft, who are breaking down prospects. They're both asking us, are you ready? Are you Bears fans ready for how good he's going to be? How good the Bears are going to be now that they have a good quarterback? The whole thing. And those videos are on the YouTube page. Make sure you subscribe, because when the White Sox are on at night, the Black and Abdallah Show, we will be on the YouTube channel, and we will have new videos posted on those evenings right there on our YouTube channel. Black and Abdallah, make sure you subscribe. You will not miss a moment of the show this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked to our favorite draft people, and we'll have a couple more on before the NFL draft, but also all the you know, the, I don't want to call it dumb stuff, but the dumb stuff is on there too. You know, the zoo news, all that kind of stuff. It's all there on the YouTube page at Black and Abdallah. So make sure you like, subscribe, tell all your friends, get alerts, all that good stuff. Whatever's involved with YouTube, just click all of it. Whatever's on that page, click it.
Yeah, the Black and Abdallah Show, when the White Sox are playing evening games, the show will not be in because we're on 6:30 to 8 right here on ESPN 1000. And so when there is a night baseball game, we will then bounce to the YouTube page, and that's where you can catch the show throughout the summer. So you got to make sure you subscribe. And some of that conversation, like we're talking about, as the Bears are 2 weeks away from selecting the number one pick in the NFL draft, it's going to change. Mm-hmm. Like this team in this rebuild is going to go into hyper speed. You know, you think back to the Star Wars movies back in the day, and even Spaceballs when they make the joke that they've now gone into plaid. That we are going to go into light speed hyperdrive the moment Caleb Williams is selected. We're now in just a waiting period for this to take place.
Yeah.
But all of the hype, it's all going to be there. And also the expectations on what will take place on the field that's going to be there as we head into the summer training camp and the rest of the football season.
I think that, you know, when you look at expectations for the Bears this season, Chris, I have a different expectation for Caleb Williams than I do for the team. I think the team should be good. And I think that good means 9, 10, 11 wins, competing for a spot in the, as the head of the division, as a division winner in the North. And then also, if not, you know, being right in there in the mix for a wild card spot. We've gone through it in the last couple weeks about where they slot in, win total wise, and all that kind of stuff. You know, how they fit into the wild card picture. But also, like, I'm not going to come in and say that Caleb Williams is going to be God's gift to quarterbacking the second he steps onto the field. There is going to be somewhat of a learning curve with Caleb Williams coming from college to pros. And that can mean more interceptions. That can mean, you know, getting the timing right. That can mean learning a new playbook. That can mean all that kind of stuff. Just because he's one of the best prospects we've seen in a very long time doesn't mean he's going to come in and be lights out from day one. I think what the Bears have done so far this offseason and throughout last season is solidified the safety net underneath Caleb Williams, right? You go out and you get Keenan Allen. He's going to be a safety valve for him when he needs, you know, to pick up short yardage to get a first down. You've got a great defense. They ended the year as a top 10 defensive unit. If they play like that the entire year as opposed to only half the year after Montez Sweat joined, then I think that that sets up and helps Caleb Williams even more, because let's say he does throw an interception. If you don't give up any points off that interception, then it's fine, right? It's not fine, but it's not the end of the world. So I think that the structure around Caleb Williams leads me to believe that the Bears can be good while you can go through a few growing pains with a rookie quarterback coming into his first season in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do think that the floor will be higher, the defense is going to be better, and the pieces around the offense are certainly there. I also think the caliber of the quarterback and the prospect is different. He's a different player than what Bears fans just saw with Justin Fields. Justin Fields struggled in making decisions, getting the football out of his hand, and then also the pinpoint accuracy down the field. At times, he had the big arm and he could get it, and other times, he refused to throw the football. Caleb's going to throw the football, and I think he's going to get rid of the football quickly. And I think that is what's going to lead to a more successful, consistent scoring offense. The Bears so many times last season just felt like they were running in quicksand. They couldn't actually do anything to get things moving, to get string drives together. And it was just difficult to jumpstart that. And I think what we are starting to realize from all the draft experts that we talked to, Brett Coleman, Connor Rogers, that the prospect of Caleb Williams is a much better prospect than some of the quarterbacks that we've seen come out in the last few years. So the expectation should be raised. You mentioned that maybe he doesn't play as well from the start as you would expect, and perhaps there's more interceptions, there's all these other things. I don't know. I could see a world where he steps on the field and from day one, it looks different than what we saw with Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky, which I know they didn't work out here. I just think he's a different caliber of a prospect entering into this draft. And that's why, to this point, you know, we're 2 weeks out. Can you name the smoke around anyone else being the number one pick other than Caleb Williams?
No.
Can you name anyone outside of Dan Orlovsky or Lewis Reddick?
No.
Who's suggesting that someone other than Caleb Williams should be the number one pick?
No.
We'll wait for the class. Abdallah's right.
Hey there, boys.
No. Get Eddie from the north side out of here. It's not the case. No one. There is zero smoke. Not anybody is suggesting that any of the other prospects are of the caliber that Caleb Williams is. Nope. And it is exciting as a Bears fan to be in this position where we all know who the pick is. It's that guy, and he has rave reviews off of all the meetings he's had this offseason, the draft process, and it's all like go time now. Turn the faucet on, let it go full blast, time to hit hyperspeed.
No, I agree with you, and I'm looking through right now. I was looking at Jordan Love's stats because from last year, his game log. Because if you remember the beginning of the year, besides the Bears game, the beginning of the year, he struggled. They lost four games in a row. They lost 5 out of 6 games where he had multiple interceptions. He had a game with 2 interceptions, 3 interceptions, another game with 2 interceptions where they lost to Pittsburgh. Like, you could, he, they, and then in the second half of the year is when he turned it on. He threw 1 interception in his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. 1 interception in his last 8 games. So I know it's a different situation. Jordan Love sat for a while, but it was his first full year starting. There were some growing pains in the beginning of the year. He overcame them, became a better quarterback, and by the end of the year, we were saying, hey, the Packers have done it again. Right, they found their franchise quarterback. They did it again. They went from Favre to Rodgers to now Love. And I think that the same can be said when Caleb Williams comes in. If there's a couple games with 2 interceptions, 3 interceptions, it doesn't mean he's not going to learn from it. I'm just embracing myself for some form of, like, there's going to be some form of learning curve. Like, he's not just going to come out and be absolutely lights out. The speed of the game is completely different. And it's such a faster game from the pros to college, and from the college to the pros, I mean, that he's going, I anticipate some struggling. I'm not going to say that they're going to lose 4 games in a row like the Packers did early in the year, because their defense is better, they've got better weapons, that kind of thing. But he is still a rookie quarterback. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that he's not going to come in here and automatically be an MVP.
I did want to mention this. Earlier today, we got news that O.J. Simpson passed away. He was 76. Now, many of you, if you're too young, you listen to the show, you're a Gen Zer, you know, Black and Abdallah, we're both millennials, and anyone that's older than us certainly remembers living through the time of the double homicide trial, the civil lawsuit that took place afterwards, the acquittal, also the car chase, everything that went into what O.J. Simpson's life was about in the early 90s, 1994 into 1995. And quite honestly, Abdallah, when thinking back at O.J. Simpson and that time to be alive, because you and I were 9 at the time of the chase. Mm-hmm. And it was June 17th, 1994. It just, what I keep thinking about all of this, I've read a lot of O.J. books throughout the years. I've watched the documentaries. And if you've ever get a chance to watch the Made in America, the O.J. Simpson documentary from ESPN, the 30 for 30, multiple part series, like, it is one of the best documentaries you will ever find.
Yeah.
It's outstanding. I just think about how much media has changed in that time frame, and how, like, we consumed how all of that took place, and how that type of where there's so few options and so few items media-wise to gather our attention, and we all went to the same place to watch. Like, 95 million people watched the car chase.
It's insane.
In real time.
That's insane.
It's insane. An insane number when you really think about that. Like, nowadays, the only thing people watch that even gets close to 100 million eyeballs is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that's what that event was. Mm-hmm. And that drama playing out in real time on breaking news coverage during the NBA Finals, the Rockets and the Knicks. It was just, it's a crazy time to think back if you live through it, and trying to explain that time to a Gen Zer who did not live through that era, I think is kind of difficult to explain what that time was like.
Well, it's completely pre-internet, right? And I've always said that if there's one event that I wish we had Twitter for, it was the car chase. You know, because you would get everybody's videos, right? Yeah. Everyone would have their phone out. This is when no one had a cell phone. You maybe had a bag phone or a car phone or something like that. But nobody had, like, a mobile camera that you could use. People had camcorders and stuff. But, like, no one had the access to media the way that we all do now, where, you know, everyone can be basically a de facto reporter, because you would be seeing everybody's videos being retweeted on Twitter, put on Facebook, put on Instagram, whatever. If we had the social media around that we do now during that time, I could only imagine how much bigger it would have been. I don't remember watching the car chase live because I lived overseas. It was like 2 a.m. where I was in Saudi Arabia. I distinctly remember watching the verdict and a lot of the trial live. And I absolutely remember watching the verdict.
I remember for the trial and the verdict, we were at recess at grade school, and they were like, they went over the PA, the say, the verdict. Mm-hmm. Like, we were all aware that it was coming down the pipeline, and that when it was reported, it was, like, announced at the school, which was crazy. I watched the car chase live. I was a 9-year-old kid who loved the NBA, and I was watching the NBA Finals, and then this took over all of the broadcasts, and bouncing back and forth between NBC News and Bob Casas and the NBA game itself. It is crazy. And there's also a 30 for 30 that ESPN put together about that specific day, which I would recommend to anyone to watch, because I think it does a good job of depicting what kind of like media life was at that time, like consuming media, that like you had few channels, you had cable channels, but we all watched the same things.
Yeah.
So like on that date, we were all watching the same events kind of take place. And then this happened, and it was like a day-long story, you know, because like early in the morning, they were expecting him to give himself up to authorities. So that's where this all kind of started, is this was like bubbling behind the scenes for a minute here, and then he went missing, and that's when the car chase kind of started. It's what I think about, is that was an event that a millennial was able to live through, consume, and loosely participate in a social context as far as having a conversation about it, where like Gen Z today, we all have the ability to capture everything at all moments.
Oh,
where
yeah.
like back then you would have to call someone on their home phone to say, hey, are you watching this? Are you seeing this? And then also after the fact, the coverage, 4 months, for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Late night shows, the news, the local news, the newspaper. All it was about was the OJ trial.
Everything. Magazines, everything you looked, everywhere you turned.
You go
to
the grocery store.
Yeah,
you pay at the grocery store. Every magazine cover was about the OJ trial and the people that were involved in the trial.
All the different characters. It feels like a character because, like, saying Cato Kalin and saying, you know, all these people from the trial, they feel like characters because it was a nightly TV show that you just watched. Like, it was on, because it was on all the time. The updates from the trial, the live stuff from the trial, everything. You consumed it the way you consume, like, a nightly TV show.
Yeah, it was.
And
it was a nightly soap opera.
Yeah, these people became characters that people just talked about it as if they were watching Seinfeld or Friends or whatever.
And it spun off legal analysts on TV being like high-profile personalities, and like what you have with news coverage today.
Yeah,
a lot of that comes from that era where it was 24/7 core TV, CNN breaking news, the whole thing. So I just wanted to mention that as O.J. Simpson passes at 76. Earlier today. Black and Abdallah, we'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago. You're listening to Black and Abdallah. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Black and Abdallah, thank you to Sean Graney for producing tonight's show. You can catch us next on YouTube tomorrow. Check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the channel. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have new videos posted tomorrow on our YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. So check it out. Make sure you subscribe during the baseball season. That's where you'll find our show. Right there on the YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. Make sure you subscribe. New videos will be posted tomorrow, Friday. So make sure you subscribe.
Yeah.
Right there on YouTube, Black and Abdallah. That's where you'll find the show during the baseball season when we're carrying White Sox baseball right here on ESPN 1000. Abdallah, today is a special day. It's the Masters. And it's time for a cheese sandwich. Because, you know, Jim Nance is sitting there in Butler's cabin waiting to munch on a cheese sandwich. He wants to have a little sandwich.
Now,
sir, will you come into my cabin and have a sandwich with me, sir?
Now, to be fair, we had the sandwiches last year from the Masters. They sent a box of Masters stuff.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Oh, of course.
Like, they're actually good.
But like, you have to wear a little jacket, and you have to go sit in the tiny cabin with Jim Nance.
No phones, just you
You and Jim Nance and eating a sandwich.
And some pimento cheese. Not talking to each other.
Just a loose cheese sandwich.
Staring at each other and going,
It's a nice sandwich.
No, you can't talk. Just got to go, You don't get this on YouTube, folks.
No, you don't. The cheese sandwiches return as the Masters is back.
To be fair, very good sandwiches.
Very nice sandwich.
I didn't have the pulled pork last year for obvious reasons, but the cheese, pimento cheese.
In the butler cabin.
Pretty good.
Sitting there with his jacket on. So, yes, there you go. The Masters is back. The music plays, and men everywhere start to go, oh, the Masters. I love it. And the cheese sandwiches, which is fantastic. So make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, Black and Abdallah. We'll talk to you there tomorrow.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cheese sandwiches.